special concert, Music of the Holocaust, to commemorate an important event in the Holocaust, the 75th anniversary of the Warsaw Ghetto Revolt or Uprising, which has great symbolic significance for Holocaust remembrance. And I should say that this concert has been organized with the help of Professor Julia Bullard of the UNI School of Music, who is the artistic director and one of the performers in the concert.
Now, why did you decide you wanted to use music as a special Holocaust remembrance?
Well, one of the things that makes the Warsaw Ghetto Revolt so memorable is that it was the largest act of armed resistance by Jews in Europe during the Holocaust. And that's of great importance in part because it inspired armed revolts in other ghettos in other Nazi-occupied countries. But it also reminds us that throughout the period of the Holocaust, there were other kinds of resistance that we call spiritual resistance, where people persecuted by the Nazi regime tried using their faith, using their artistic talents, their intellectual spirit to preserve their human dignity and sense of self-worth. And music played an important role in many of the ghettos in Europe in helping this spiritual resistance take place. It's also been an important way to memorialize the victims of the Holocaust and to commemorate the Holocaust. And so our program includes music by Jewish composers whose music was banned by the Nazi regime. It includes music by victims and survivors of the Holocaust, and it includes music composed by a contemporary composer to illustrate the way in which we can use music to foster Holocaust memory.
So your concert's opening with the music of Mendelssohn and Mahler.
Yes, both of whom were not Jewish composers except by ancestry, but who for that reason had their music banned by the Nazi regime from early 1933. Statues of Mendelssohn were torn down. His music was labeled degenerate, and Mahler's music suffered a similar fate. And so we want some selections by these composers to be on the program to remind people that music became a tool by which the Nazi regime tried to erase the Jewish presence from Germany and from other countries that fell under Nazi domination.
And then Catherine Osborne, mezzo-soprano, is going to take the stage.
Yes, she's going to sing two pieces, the first of which is a poem written by a German Jewish woman who would become a victim of the Holocaust, a woman by the name of Ilse Weber, who, with her husband and younger son, was sent to the ghetto in Theresienstadt outside of Prague in Czechoslovakia. And there she worked as a nurse. She composed poems, set them to music, and played them, accompanying herself on the with the guitar to try to take away some of the fear and anxiety of the children and elderly people under her care. Eventually, in October 1944, she died in the gas chambers in Auschwitz along with her son. The other piece that she's going to sing is, again, an art song, that is, a poem set to music. But the poem was written by a Holocaust survivor by the name of Abraham Sutskever, who survived the Vilna ghetto in Lithuania, and whose poems were set to music by the contemporary composer Laurie Lateman, an American composer. And one of the poems is going to be sung in its original Yiddish and in English translation by Catherine Osborne, accompanied by James Jenkins on the piano and Hannah Holman on the cello. And so this is our way of showing how music is part of the effort to preserve the memory of the Holocaust.
Then Trio 826 is going to return to the stage.
Yes, they're going to play a string trio by the Czech Jewish composer Gideon Klein, who also perished in Auschwitz at the age of 24. And the special poignancy of this string trio is that it was the last musical composition that he wrote just weeks before he was sent to Auschwitz. One of those minor miracles, the music was preserved even after he had been deported. And so we have it today as part of his legacy, part of his musical last will and testament. It's a piece that is worth listening to for its musicality, but of course it has that special meaning as the last composition of a victim of the Holocaust.
And then your last work, the trio, will also be playing as well.
Yes, the last two movements of a serenade by the Hungarian composer Erno Dohnányi, who published most of his work under his German name, and who after the war was the subject of many allegations of collaboration with the Nazis, allegations that have turned out to be unfounded. And indeed, Dohnányi's record during the war was episode after episode of trying to protect his Jewish students, his fellow musicians and colleagues, and it turns out to have a very different legacy, not so much as a composer, but as a member of the Hungarian musical community than people had believed for decades after the war. And it's important that we understand the role that many people played in helping to protect and rescue Jewish musicians and composers.